Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Two Idiots in Love with Movies. I'm your host, Alex Adrock. To my left and right, actually sitting across from me, is the other host, Julie Adrock, my wife.
Hi.
We are two people who are in love with each other and with movies. And we're here to discuss, what is it?
50 First Dates.
A romantic comedy starring Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore from 2000 and something. Once again, we have done extensive research.
I'm really excited that you said we could watch it, because I've seen it a bunch of times, but you ain't never seen it.
It's true. And I would have said yes, no matter what. I mean, it is your pick. We kind of go do a round robin selection process. I go, she goes, obviously. What was my last pick? Was it 50 of Sleeps in Seattle?
Yes, that was your choice.
All right. And this is your choice. You are an Adam Sandler fan, a Rob Schneider fan, a Drew Barrymore fan, and altogether, watch out.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah. The question is, did I like it?
Did you like it?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't think I would. I went in a little grumpy, and I didn't think the movie would win me over, but in the end it did. It had a lot of traditional Sandlerisms that was not to my liking, but in the end, we'll discuss. You want to take point on this one?
Well, why did you think that you wouldn't like it?
Later Adam Sandler period is spotty at best. His dramatic work, although very slight, is a marked improvement. Punch Drunk Love, Spanglish, Not Rain Over Me. I haven't seen that one. I heard it's very bad. But a lot of his comedies. I was a fan of him on Saturday Night Live. And his first two comedic albums, They're All Gonna Laugh at You, and I can't remember the second one, what it was called. My friends and I used to listen to them in the basement and laugh until we couldn't breathe and died. Then, of course, Billy Madison. I still think it's a comedic masterpiece. Most people do not like it. They think it's stupid. It is.
Everyone I know loves Billy Madison. Who doesn't like it?
I don't know. People I talk to on the internet.
Well, people that I know love it.
All right. Fair enough. I think it's my cup of tea, basically. I have a very stupid sense of humor. I like silly and filthy. Then I also enjoyed Happy Gilmore. Wasn't as strong, and from there was downhill, pretty much. The Waterboy, Little Nicky. Yeah.
I watched Little Nicky a lot, but that was when I only had like 3 DVDs.
I see.
My friend's aunt was in Billy Madison.
Yeah? Who'd she play?
She played the Snot Queen.
Oh, nice. Really? That's your friend's aunt?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she was in that and 3 Men and a Baby.
Wow.
Yeah, she was the woman when they had the party scene in 3 Men and a Baby and Tom Selleck was like trying to flirt with one of the girls in the hallway.
Yeah.
That was my friend Linda's aunt.
I don't remember anything about 3 Men and a Little Baby, but that's very impressive to me.
Yeah. Yeah, she played the Snot Queen, the one that rubs snow.
Oh, I know the scene. Okay. I know every scene very well.
Okay.
Now, one of the exceptions to the rule of the later period Adam Sandler, probably mid-period Adam Sandler, is The Wedding Singer, in part largely because Drew Barrymore.
Does that count as late Adam Sandler? Because to me, it's like everything past Grown Ups, I'm not interested in.
Oh, that's very late Adam Sandler. Yeah, I guess we're getting old. Like, we have to adjust our late and mid-periods.
Well, I guess The Wedding Singer was, what, 96? 95?
Jesus,
thanks. I know, because thanks I went to go that. See it on Valentine's Day when I was 16.
Wow. I saw it in the Georgetown Cinema. I saw everything in the
That's
Georgetown
where I saw
cinema.
It, at the Georgetown Cinema.
Were you? Maybe we were there together.
Yeah, it was with my friends Maureen and my friend Mike, who eventually became my boyfriend, but
you
we weren't going out then.
Slut.
And we're all single, so we decided to go and see this romantic comedy on Valentine's Day with each other. I remember that. And because, of course, Julia Guglia, my name being Julia.
Did that haunt you?
Since 1995, yes, it is 2013, and people are still calling me Julia and Guglia. And to this point, I'm just like, dude, seriously, that movie's like 25 years old.
It resonates, though.
And well, I guess everyone like around our age
picks up on it. Yeah, they'll still remember it, yeah.
We should say actually what the movie's about.
Can I say how much I hate the movie Click?
Yes. Because the world needs to know.
I hate the movie Click so much. That's late period Adam Sandler.
That's true.
The movie is about, you're better with the plots. I forget everything. I just think of quips.
It's pretty easy. Adam Sandler is kind of like a, what do you call it when they have sex with lots of women?
A Lothario?
Sure. That sounds good. Better than man slut, which is what I thought of. A lot better. Yeah. And so he picks up on tourists all the time. They live in Hawaii. So he picks up on tourists so that he can just date them for like a short period of time and then he doesn't have to see them again. And then Drew Barrymore plays a woman who was in a car accident with her father and got brain damage. So now she has lost her short-term memory. So every day when she wakes up is the same day. So and that's been going on for about over a year. And Adam Sandler meets Drew Barrymore. And then he's smitten with her. And then he finds out about her condition. And then he spends the rest of the movie every day getting her to fall in love with him.
Essentially, it's Memento, if Memento was a series of meet-cutes.
It's great.
Yeah, this is our second vacation porn movie.
I guess 6 days, 7 nights.
Very much so.
That was in Hawaii too, wasn't it?
Yes, this is very much... Hawaii seems to be a reoccurring theme. Was it Hawaii for 6 days, 7 nights?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they went to Hawaii.
Okay. And then on the way back, they crashed into another island?
Yeah.
Album island?
Yeah. I think so.
We're both on no sleep, by the way. We both be working mad shifts to pay for our baby's education. The Descendants we saw recently?
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was such a good
movie.
I'd
like to live in Hawaii.
Yes, I'll get you a condominium there. I'll get you a timeshare. We also watched The Queen of Versailles. So.
I don't want a timeshare. I don't want to live somewhere for 2 weeks. If I want to live there, I want to live there.
What if I offered you tickets to Disneyland?
But I only have to listen to your speech for half a day?
You just have to, and then afterwards I get to go to Disneyland? You can say no if you want, but I don't think you're going to turn this down.
Now we're talking.
All right. Let's go downstairs. Hawaii is a beautiful setting. Punch Drunk Love also in part in Hawaii as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I forgot that was in Hawaii.
Try not to fall in love in Hawaii, the island of dreams.
It's not possible.
I leaned into the mic for that, by the way.
It was nice.
Yeah.
What was that wretched movie that Adam Sandler made recently?
All of them.
Yeah, it was the worst one I've ever seen, though.
Grown-ups?
No.
Because that was that. Cottage porn.
That was cottage porn. It wasn't actually as
usually,
bad as I thought it was going to be.
There's a lot of good comedies set in cottages in the 80s. I don't know if they're trying to recapture that magic.
Probably. No, it was with the guy from Saturday Night Live, and he plays his father.
Jack and Jill. Oh, no. I haven't seen Jack and Jill. I saw half of this. This one was particularly awful, where he's like...
That's
my boy. Yeah, that was really upsetting.
That was like... It was like there's two people who are funny as hell. Mm-hmm. And then they put them together, and everything just fell apart.
There was no excuse. I think everyone should be in jail.
Even Jack and Jill was like watching a car wreck. Like, it was still fascinating to watch happen. But this... The one that... That's my boy one was just... Boring.
It was dirty too. It made me feel bad, and I thought that was going to happen here because of the premise. I thought it was going to be a series of this Lothario trying to get in the pants of a woman with brain damage.
Oh, like he was going to be trying to have sex with her all the time.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like that because
it's about love.
And yeah, we'll discuss that shortly. Yeah, I like that they cover that originally off the bat that it would be evil for him to do that. They took a nicer approach to it, which is the only way that movie would be allowed to be shown. Because otherwise, I don't even want to get into that aspect. It would be gross. So yeah, Adam Sandler is a dick, the typical dick in romantic comedies. One who basically doesn't deserve love. He uses and loses a bunch of women. They are on vacation. They kind of know the score. It opens with a very not funny scene of him pretending to be a secret agent to lose one girl and then jumps in a water ski, which was pretty funny because he hurt his balls, and that's funny to me. And that the jet skier is like, $20, come on. And then one day happens upon a beautiful, vivacious woman making a house out of waffles, which...
It irritates me so much how you never see her eat the waffles.
That irritates me as well. I don't like people wasting food or having fun with food. I'm sorry. I like whimsy as much as the next man. I actually don't. I'm very dour. But food. Don't fuck around.
Yeah, like, I think if I saw her eat it afterwards, like, she made the castle, like, she makes things out of her waffles.
Yes.
So every morning is the same morning, and she goes to the same breakfast place, and she orders waffles, and she makes something different every morning. Like, she makes a house, or a volcano, or something like that.
Yeah.
I understand that expresses her creativity, and it gives Adam Sandler an in for talking to her.
Exactly.
But I need to see her cover that in syrup and eat it afterwards.
Yeah, I need to see, like, maybe half the waffles are going into her mouth, and the other half she's playing with. Maybe she doesn't need all that waffles.
Yeah, it was three waffles, I guess. I mean, I could eat eight, but whatever. I mean...
But I guess it also hides the fact that she's thin.
Yes.
That woman would have eaten waffles every single day.
Yeah, that's true.
I made a specific note about that. I'm always jealous of people who can afford to eat at a restaurant every day. Because that's the dream.
Of course. But in her mind, it's every Sunday.
Yes, that's true.
I would think if the people in the restaurant are in on it, which they are, they wouldn't charge her.
I think she'd be sick by now. I don't think she's had vegetables for a year.
Well, she could have something different, I guess, for lunch and dinner, but for breakfast it's the same.
Well, it's the same with her family. They have to pretend that it's the same day every single day so as not to upset her. I don't know where they got this idea, because I don't think a therapist would actually prescribe that, because it's very weird.
Yeah.
But that old man has, it's his birthday, her father's birthday, so he's to pretend it's his birthday every time. They get together, have a pineapple, have cake. She paints his garage there's always infinite amount of time in movies. She paints his garage, flowers and whatnot, and they watch The Sixth Sense, and then she goes to bed. That sounds like a pretty good day. I'd like to have that day every day.
It's not bad.
But that old man has eaten cake every day for a year. He's going to die very soon.
Well, it looks like they have smaller pieces, and they throw out the rest of the cake afterwards.
That's true.
It also looks like a delicious pineapple upside down cake.
Yeah, I'd like pineapple. I would like some now.
I like pineapple too.
It gives me a bit of a bellyache, but it's worth it.
It is the flavor. Worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah, they have newspapers they've made up, because everybody reads the newspaper first thing. Like, I don't know.
They used to.
I guess, yeah, in the days of print before cell phones and Teletubbies destroyed that. I don't know. Tinky Winky. I blame him personally. He's the one with the purse, right?
Yes, he is.
That's even funnier.
Yeah.
That I said personally.
Yeah, it is that. Yeah.
Yeah, and Adam Sandler's going to throw a monkey wrench into these plans and take charge and insert himself into their life. It's a little unfeasible, but at the same time, and I will get into this eventually. For some reason, I'm holding back on this.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. He is immediately smitten with her, and this jerk persona disappears.
Because he loves her.
I know. And it's very nice. That's what I appreciate in these kind of movies, because so many romantic comedies are built on deception, trickery, bets, trying to have sex with a person. Like not that that's bad, but, you know, if that's not the way... Under false pretenses. And this is very unabashed, there's no hiding it. Loves her, and he's pursuing her. He's not trying to hide it or be too silly or, like, be ironic or anything like that. It's just love, and I like to see it.
Yeah.
It's nice to see.
I think that Jupiter and Adam Sandler have some of the best chemistry ever.
I believe they do have very good chemistry. She brings something out of her, because a lot of starlets these days in particular don't have much charisma. And that's not their fault. It's just that they're hiring very young 19-year-old girls who all look the same. And there's a lot of actors who look a little different, or might be a little older, or have a different body shape, who are fantastic. And I'm not trying to say that attractive women can't be, because obviously, like, Charlize Theron, beautiful woman. A lot of charisma, so that's not what I'm trying to say. It's just that it's all Blake Lively.
You hate her so much.
I do.
It's Blake Lively or that girl that you really hate.
Kate Bosworth.
Yeah, that's right.
They're all the same. Just very boring women. But, you know, your Amy Adams and your Drew Barrymores, they've got pep and they've got something to say and they're smart.
You said pep.
I did say pep.
You are a 50-year-old divorced man.
Oh, that's very harsh.
Pep. It's adorable, though.
All right.
It endears you. It endears you.
Thank you.
You have a very good point, though.
Yeah. I like to see character and spunk.
Yeah, of course.
And, yeah, she lights up the screen. She's got a great... She's very lovely.
She's
Drew Barrymore. But she wasn't always Drew Barrymore. She was a problem child for a while.
Not on screen.
Not on screen, like in Poison Ivy.
What are you saying?
Or was it Poison Ivy 2?
It was Poison Ivy.
Was it Melissa Milano?
No, with Melissa Gilbert. The chick from Roseanne?
Yes. No, I know that. But who's Poison Ivy 2?
That's Alyssa Milano.
Okay.
Where she finds her diary.
Right. And then,
decides to, madness. Like, live out her life or
that
something.
That sounds like the plot to American Psycho 2, which I never saw, but I think it's starring...
Mila Kunis.
That's right.
And which I'll never forget that joke that Joan Rivers made about Mila Kunis. Referring to a Kunis being a vagina.
Oh, fair enough.
You can barely see Mila Kunis. It's funny. But Poison Ivy, as you know, my first sex scene of all time, ever, was Drew Barrymore and Tom Skillet.
That's upsetting. Skerrit.
It's Skillet in my mind, okay?
Okay.
Having stand-up sex on a piano bench. I was 13.
Yeah.
Me and this new girl from Brampton, the big city,
yeah,
decided to be friends. And she was like, let's rent a movie, go to Becker's to get some candy and stuff. And I was like, of course. So my dad rented it for us because I was 13 and I'd never done anything like that.
Bill,
he wouldn't have thought,
Bill,
right?
Bill, what are you doing?
He wouldn't have thought. So me and, I think her name was Cindy. And
they're always named Cindy.
We got the two lazy boys and lined those up right in front of the TV and watched Poison Ivy starring Drew Barrymore.
What a hot film to watch with a young woman you just met.
I know. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. And for a long time, whatever I thought of sex, it was Tom Skillet and Drew Barrymore having stand-up sex on a piano bench.
Fair enough.
Which gives you a window into my craziness.
Maybe that's why you like 50-year-old divorced men. My first sex scene was in The Name of the Rose. Monks with big bushes going at it. So that's where my sex education came from.
That's why you always want to do it in robes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I want to shave your head.
No. No.
One day. 40th anniversary.
When I've run out of presents to give you.
Exactly.
Awesome.
I'll pull out the clippers.
Nice.
So yeah. Tell us more about this this plot that I can't remember.
The plot that you can't remember? Well, it involves some amazing characters, namely Rob Schneider as Adam Sandler's friend.
They had a lot of the reoccurring Sandler cronies. No David Spade, but they did have Rob Schneider, of course, who's, I believe, in all of them. I was hoping for Buscemi, but I got a glimpse of Kevin James, who is, of course, a pale... reflection of Steve Buscemi.
I'm sorry, no. Kevin James doesn't have anything at all in any way possible to do with Steve Buscemi other than the fact that they both have penises. And I even doubt it with Kevin James.
I was just saying, Kevin James, not so good.
It's got the his best friend from The Wedding Singer. He's in it.
Who's that?
10-Second Dave.
Oh, is that who? Oh, okay.
Or 10 Seconds Steve. I'm not sure what his name is. The guy whose memory only lasts 10 seconds.
I think it's 10 Second Dave. I can't remember. Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah.
There's a lot of colorful supporting characters.
Dan Aykroyd, your favorite.
Dan Aykroyd, of course, who is everywhere you don't want him to be. I have nothing against Dan Aykroyd. I have nothing against anyone who was in Ghostbusters.
Even his theory on extraterrestrials.
I can't prove it or disprove it, so it's fine.
What about his wine?
I haven't had his wine or his vodka. That's his vodka, right? Crystal Skull?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know for sure.
No, I haven't had his wine. I haven't had the pleasure. I have had a few glasses of red velvet cupcake wine, so I apologize for any slurring and or non sequiturs.
Can we talk about Rob Schneider again?
I go nuts.
I love him.
I know you do. Why do you love him? Take us back to the beginning.
To
Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
You know what? I honestly cannot put my finger on it exactly what I love about Rob Schneider or everything that he does ever. But I will say it has to tap into something that has to do with my childhood and feeling comfortable. I feel like that has to be what it is. I mean, I don't know enough about the way the brain works or anything like that, but I feel like I get excited when I see him. I know what he's going to deliver, and I want him to deliver it.
That's fair. You have a lot of comfort food movies, though.
Yeah, I do.
You have a lot. You've never seen Julia's Family's Basement, but there's quite a few VHS cassettes of family favorites. Well,
that's what it was. That was every Friday night, at least 3 movies. We get takeout. Mm-hmm. We watch at least 2 of them. Sometimes the other one would be for grown-ups. Mm-hmm. But we'd watch at least 2 of them. And that was, like, what I looked forward to all week. And on Monday, when we had show and tell, I would tell everyone about the movies that we watched on the weekend.
I'm very jealous of your family movie nights. I had family nights myself. And by family nights, I mean by myself.
Well, eventually, when I turned into the bitter shell of a person that I was from the ages 15 to 23, I did rent movies alone and get takeout alone and eat it alone in my darkened basement.
Were they hard-hitting dramas?
Always. Hard-hitting dramas, anything with excessive violence, mm-hmm. Any kind of foreign film with a shit ton of sex in it, or sometimes something about teens just looking for love, you know?
Were there any overly stylistic crime films?
Like what?
Like anything that was a Tarantino ripoff, or Tarantino himself.
Anything that had to do with Tarantino, inspired by Tarantino, written by Tarantino, had a guest spot by Tarantino, I owned.
That was pretty much everything in Jumbo Video in 1994 to 1997.
Yep, pretty much. I owned a VHS copy of Destiny Turns on the Radio, exclusively because Quentin Tarantino was in it.
Was he making the duck face on the cover?
I don't know.
He made a lot of duck face.
Maybe. Rob Schneider played a really good character in this movie, though.
What nationality was he supposed to be?
He was Hawaiian.
He sounded Mexican.
He's not very good at accents.
No, he's not.
But he's good at charisma.
I appreciated the fact that he had makeup and a weird eye on him, so he at least looked different, and he was trying. He had a bit of a character. I like that he had multiple children following him around him a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then a wife that he was horrible to.
Yeah. You saw her, though. She looked like a toe.
It's true. She did look like a toe. Thumb and a toe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good. He was fine.
He was great.
Yeah. Yeah, he was kept on the peripheral. He didn't have his catchphrase, though. Did he say, you can do it at any point?
I don't think so.
Because he did that. But that was so long ago again. Like, I keep thinking it's still, like, the late 90s.
I wish.
I need to go listen to my Prodigy albums.
Did you have Prodigy hair?
I did have Prodigy hair. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here first. I had what is called a no-hawk, which is a mohawk on either side, shaved down the middle. There's one picture of this haircut in existence. I don't know where it is, and I will destroy it if I find it.
Oh my god, I want to see it so bad.
My parents made fun of me for years.
They didn't understand your expression.
I was trying.
And you need to be creative.
I just wanted to do something different. Everyone else didn't got away with it.
Maybe.
Maybe. Back to 50 First Dates.
Were you sexually attracted to Drew Barrymore in this movie?
No.
She's very comforting.
Yes.
And nice, but not, like, sexy.
No, she doesn't really... She's not sexy to me. Never really has been, mostly because I kind of grew up with her as Gertie. I was a big E.T. fan, still am. And she kind of grew up with me, so I've always, you know, thought of her as kind of a sister-esque kind of person. So nothing to do with, like, not her fault, but she's also a little too quirky. She never really dips too much into the Manic Pixie Dream Girl because she is smart and too smart for that. But no, I don't find her sexy.
Fair enough.
I think she's beautiful.
No, I concur.
She's got a inner light.
I was interested in hugging her and kissing her.
Yeah.
And marrying her. But I didn't want to see her vagina.
No. If her boobies did press up against me, I wouldn't mind. But
it's true. You wouldn't push her away. Yeah. But you're not thinking of it from across the room. You're thinking more like, hey, we should go get a drink.
Yeah. Let's go hang out sometime.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Maybe something can happen, but no promises.
Yeah. That's right.
Take it slow. No. She was great. Sean Astin. As her brother.
He was so awesome.
I am always happy to see Sean Astin. He is, I guess I would find him very comforting. I love him. He's Samwise. I'd like him to follow me around, and I would hold his hobbit hand.
Absolutely.
We would go shopping together at the Gap.
Remember when we saw him at Comic-Con?
Yes, and it was wonderful.
Or what did we call it? Fan Expo?
Fan Expo. Yeah. Toronto's biggest comic book expo, and, you know. As big as Toronto can have one.
Yeah, we saw him and we took pictures of him and he looked exactly like he does on TV.
It's true.
Sometimes they look really different, but he looked exactly the same.
Nope, it was a little Rudy sitting there screaming about football.
So amazing. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really silly character, but I also thought it was nice, you know?
It was nice because it wasn't too, a lot of comedies like this, a lot of Sandler comedies, everyone's really like antagonistic towards each other and mean-spirited and it did have a little bit of that. But everyone was on the same page, which was taking care of Drew Barrymore's character, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, he's nice.
All the family members and him, her friends, all had her best interests at heart, including Maya Rudolph. 3 seconds of Maya Rudolph.
I can't believe that Maya Rudolph got to fly to Hawaii to do 3 lines.
It's true.
If only.
It's true. In between making Paul Thomas Anderson's babies.
Yeah.
4 of them.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. She's got it made.
She does. But I like Sean Astin's character. He was at least interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is a bodybuilder.
Yes, the bodybuilder with a lisp.
Yeah. Addicted to roids.
I was always, like, a little nervous. I always kept thinking they were going to dip into, like, gay panic. And they skirted it, but not so much. It's not really... gay panic doesn't really work anymore. It just doesn't. It used to work. You never really noticed it.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're going through all the Saturday Night Live on Netflix of the, even like the 2000s and stuff. Mm-hmm. We're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like where they're still making jokes like that for like a long time.
It's true. And there's ways to make jokes about being gay, but you have to include the person. It can't be attacking the person.
What were you saying? Like all of Jim Carrey's stuff?
Yeah, watching back, it was upsetting. Ace Ventura, like he realizes he kissed a man and it's just him with the crying game playing, washing his mouth out with like Javix. It's, I mean, come on. used to be in trailers. Gay panic jokes used to be in trailers, if you remember. It used to be like someone kind of like making some sort of gay advancement on the character and then they would immediately cut to someone screaming or fainting or like the record skipping.
Yeah. I just think it's kind of cool how it's gotten to a point where we don't even think about it and then when we go back and look at stuff we're like, oh.
Yeah, it's true. But Adam Sandler's actually, his movies were always a little bit progressive in that end because I remember in Big Daddy, two of his friends are both gay. And I remember I saw that movie in a theater in Brampton and the audience erupted in disgusted noises, and it upset me greatly. It was horrible. I remember one time we had a fight, and I went to the movies to cheer myself up, and I saw Epic Movie, and I almost killed myself.
It's like the exact opposite effect.
It's true.
Nothing could be worse than going by yourself to the theater in Brampton to see Evan Almighty. Because you're so depressed that you just want to laugh at something. Not being able to laugh at anything. And then looking over and realizing that 3 of your ex-best friends were watching it together and laughing uproariously. 3 rows behind you.
That's funny.
That was a low.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that it was like supposed to be called 50 First Kisses.
Oh, really?
But they had to rename it because they've never been kissed. They were worried people would be confused or something.
Another interesting rom-com. A little weird, that one. Like, is it a teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a student who tries to date a teacher, right? Yeah. Another movie based on deception.
Yeah. But yeah, it was called 50 First Kisses because she gets all excited when they first kiss because she has first kisses over and over and over again.
It's true, but she shouldn't be excited because they're still the first kiss. I mean, there's still the anticipation, but she shouldn't be like, oh boy, another first kiss. This is great.
No, I think she should because it is the first kiss to her.
Yeah, it's true. But, is a day long enough to be able to build up to that moment? Like, it seems like the way the movie is presented, it's like a progression where it does get more and more serious as it goes on. But if they're starting from scratch, you still only get, like, maybe 14 to 16 hours.
Yeah, I would.
All right. That settles that.
Because each time the tape gets longer.
Right.
Each time more stuff is on the tape.
They have a lot of free time.
Yes, they do. And she's told the story again and again and again.
He's got walruses to care for. He can't do this all the time.
I don't know. I think he's like a veterinarian or something, so.
He could just work weird shifts.
Yeah, like, he's just giving them their B12 shots and making sure they're okay.
He's making them vomit on people and putting jackets on penguins.
I totally forgot about that whole, like, first 10 minutes of the movie. And then when we started watching it and the walrus was throwing up on people. Mm-hmm. And there was all these stupid jokes and stuff. I'm like, maybe this movie isn't as good as I remember it. And then I was like...
The first bit is pretty bad.
But then I was like, I kind of felt that it was a way of Adam Sandler easing you into it.
He's like, it's okay, bro. It's me doing the stupid voice. And
yeah, it's totally cool. Like,
so everyone's barfing and this walrus is disgusted by this person.
Like,
yeah.
Is that a man? Isn't that a woman? This is hilarious. Et cetera, et cetera. And then it slowly eases into actual drama and then bam, you're enchanted.
The walrus was my favorite character.
He blew kisses and it was the cutest thing I ever saw. I don't care for animals in movies. I don't like it when they act like people. You know my feeling on monkeys. Mm-hmm. But that walrus...
was a star.
He grabbed my heart and he squeezed it.
It was a breakout character. Should have gotten an Academy Award nomination and then ignored. Like Gabore Sidibe.
Exactly like that. He kissed, he nodded, he was wonderful.
Remember when they're watching The Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
How good was Donnie Wahlberg in that movie? For a New Kid on the Block member.
Well, it was the beginning.
It was great.
It was the beginning.
Beginning of what?
You know, awesomeness.
Of Donnie Wahlberg? What do you do with after that?
I don't know. There was...
The New Kids on the Block reunion?
There was Enchanted on Ice.
Enchanted on Ice.
There was Bowls, Bowls, Bowls. There was Elephant Activity Table.
Are you drunk? Oh, you're looking at... You're looking at baby toys.
It was Computer Robe. I loved Computer Robe. It was amazing.
Simply looking at objects around the room.
High chair coffee maker was a real breakout role for him. And I personally felt that Record Collection Farm Set was amazing.
Do you remember in the movie The Wrong Guy with Dave Foley?
Yes.
When he's like, what's your name? Enema Bag. Enema Bag Jones. That's not your name. You're simply lying to me.
Was it like Meg Tilly played a narcoleptic in that?
That's true. Why? What is it with people with like conditions in these movies?
Oh, no, it's hilarious.
I guess, yes. It's charming.
Yeah.
What else you got?
You want me to read exactly what I wrote?
Yes, absolutely.
So I have 50 first dates with an exclamation part and a heart next to it.
Mm-hmm.
I really love this movie! Exclamation point. I love Rob Schneider. I love Drew Barrymore. I love pre-grown-ups Adam Sandler. I really enjoy ridiculous concepts when you find things delightful. And you give them all leniencies. They love her so much! Referring to the father and son. Something about her not eating the waffles.
Spam. You have anything about spam?
No, I just wrote...
Is that actually a thing in Hawaii?
I guess it is. I don't know, though. I wrote, it's tough to write stuff down when you like it so much.
I suppose that's true. That's why I would prefer if we did stuff that we hadn't seen in a while or stuff that we had an emotional detachment from, but c'est la vie.
I hadn't seen it in a really long time.
Oh, that's fair.
I just knew that I liked it.
No, if it's your pick. Like, I have no say in it. At first I was confused by the diner staff knowing so much about her, but then they covered that with that her mother... was friends with the diner staff.
Yeah.
My notes get steadily more positive as it goes on. I'm just like, jokes falling flat, barfing, whatever, to, he genuinely likes her.
You were enchanted.
I was borderline enchanted. It's hard to get me enchanted. I'm an old, jaded cynic.
You're not old.
Thanks. I like that this was kind of like Punch Drunk Sandler meets Wedding Singer Sandler. It was a nice balance. At first, I was a little bit, but then I was just like, he is a good actor, despite what a lot of people might say. He's very good. I like when she found out. I like that they gave weight to that. I think that it was great that they didn't make it like silly or just a lot of screen takes.
The first time she found out?
Yeah, the first time with the tape where they just kind of do it. When they showed her in the hospital with her face all messed up, I'm glad that they brought that up again and said that that was horrible because that was in fact horrible and jarring. I like that there was milestones throughout where the, and I like that she broke it off. I like that she was always in control. She dumped him, like turned him down. She dumped him. She was never like, they were always, obeying what she said.
Well, yeah, because otherwise they could just completely manipulate her into believing or doing whatever they wanted.
Yeah, they never reset it. They could have easily gone right back into it, but if she made her up her mind for that, then they honored her wishes, mm-hmm. and that I liked,
mm-hmm.
because I think it would set a very wrong tone if she was manipulated throughout the movie.
Yeah.
I liked it when he asked her to marry him.
Yeah.
I thought it was very romantic. It's so tricky, though, because she's not remembering it, but they're having these moments, and she's... But she still remember, like, she sings when she remembers him, which is nice.
Yeah.
Like, that shows that he is bringing her back, and there is the possibility that he could bring her back. But, and we're getting into the end here, so spoilers. she doesn't. She never remembers, and it's kind of like... But he stays with her. I thought it was going to go... I was kind of like tearing up at the thought of where they might be going. I pictured him like singing to her as an old man on the beach.
Yeah.
Without her remembering. Uh-huh. And like him having all these milestones of their life that they would never remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would feel that I would get and lose you every day if this was happening.
Yeah.
I would feel like you would go to bed and you would kind of die and wake up and we'd start again. And I would still stay with you because, you know, that's what love is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, you would go down a dark path for somebody. But it would, the pain would be excruciating.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, do you think it's different because he fell for her as a person who didn't remember anything? Than if they'd been together before?
Yes, I absolutely, because it would feel like you lost that person. And I would still stay with you. I always bring it back to that short film in Paris Je T'aime about the man who finds out what it means to actually love a woman and what you like that entails, that he stays with her, she gets sick, she dies, you stay with her through everything, you learn to love everything about her, and when if you lose that, prematurely at any time, then you basically become like kind of like a ghost because you don't have that anymore and it's like a piece of you just vanishes.
Yeah, I think it would be more painful because every day new things would happen, new memories would happen, you'd become a different person.
Yeah.
And they would always be the same person.
Exactly. And that would be very difficult because you do grow. Because things inform you, like, you look back at your life, like, by every 5 years, and who were you? Like,
yeah. What was that thing you put on Twitter from Damien Albarn? Not Damien. Damien.
Damien Abraham, lead singer of the Toronto hardcore band Fucked Up.
Yes. Where he said that he knows that he's a grown-up now because he hates the kid he used to be.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time.
I can't stand the person I used to be.
I hate it. It makes me feel sick.
It makes me I'm disgusted by who I was.
About how angry I was, mm-hmm. how like rude I was to people. How much time I wasted being sad.
Just feeling sorry for myself. Yeah.
I'm just like, when you can think about that being, what, is it 15 years ago?
15 years ago seems fair.
Between 15 and 10 years ago. And thinking about having short-term memory loss and in 10 and 15 years who you would be.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bit of a worry to think about who you would be compared to how everybody else is and how you're supposed to relate to them. But then I think they get away with it because Drew Barrymore's character is so easygoing and lovable.
Yes.
So welcoming and nice.
She could be in her early 30s as well. So she could be like us. That'd be where she is. And like we could be at a stage in our life where we have found ourselves. I don't know that for sure because I thought that when I was in my 20s that I'm always going to be this way.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really grow up until I met you.
Aww.
I'm not trying to just be sweet, but really, like, matured. You you know, when you meet someone and, you know, you grow for them. You grow into the person that, like, you believed I was. And so that, you know.
The person I know you are.
Shucks. But, yeah. I look back. It's like, gonna get a little darker again, folks. An old friend of mine who passed away when he was 19.
Trevor,
yeah. And on his Facebook wall, they have a little memorial tribute on Facebook. It's just a bunch of people talking about getting drunk with him and partying, and those were the days.
You know, like, save some tokes up for me in heaven. Sorry, he was not my friend, but he was my friend in grade school.
Yeah.
I knew him well, so I'm on the same page.
And I don't think he's going to be drinking anymore. Like
if he had lived, he wouldn't be that person anymore.
He wouldn't be that person anymore. He could be anything else. Anything else.
Yeah.
He's just, and that's just all he's going to be now, is this party-going guy, and he didn't get a chance to be someone else.
Yeah.
All right, let's pull out of this tailspin.
Do you want to do the questions?
Yeah, let's do the questions. Let me just quickly glance over my notes to see. I have the psychology is flimsy. That was a given.
Well, the actual thing doesn't exist.
Well, I know. I wouldn't be looking into 51st Dates for a realistic portrayal of mental illness.
Can we talk about the ending first?
Oh, the ending? Yeah. Total cheap shot, by the way.
What?
Somewhere Over the Rainbow, I start crying as soon as I hear that song. As soon as I hear the first notes of that song.
Wept like a child
yeah.
at that ending the first time, the next time, and every time. I told you before I started it, I was like, be prepared because I am going to cry.
When you love someone, you devote your entire life to them, regardless, even if they're in a coma, even if they have cancer, anything like that.
So tell me what happens in the end, because I'll get choked if I say it.
The ending, she falls back in love. Adam Sandler goes to speak to her because he realizes that she's singing even when he's not meeting him, so she remembers him and that there's something there. So he goes to see her, and in her little studio that she has for some reason at the clinic that she's staying at, it's just dozens of paintings of him, and she dreams about him every night, which is sweet enough. So then they kiss and embrace, and then they flash forward to her waking up, and she has no idea where she is because she still has the condition. She looks through the tape again, sees that she got married to Adam Sandler. They had a nice Jewish wedding, and they have a daughter. And that hits you where you live.
Well, no, because it's not that he put on the tape. They're on the boat in Alaska, and she comes up the stairs to see Adam Sandler, and her baby's there.
Yeah, her baby.
Well, she's not a baby anymore, but she's a little girl.
Yeah.
Stupid baby messed me up.
I know. We have a daughter.
Yeah.
And yeah. It tears you up. Like, I think about that. I was thinking of the ending of Being John Malkovich, of the little girl swimming, and I started to tear up because I thought of Iris swimming. It's just something that happens to you. It's the worst, but also the best. That kid's gonna be a little messed up. And they play Somewhere Over the Rainbow with the ukulele. The triumphant return of ukulele Adam Sandler, by the way.
Yeah.
of the Hanukkah song fame. So the questions. What do you think of the couple?
I thought they were great.
Yeah, me too. Great chemistry, obviously. They've done two films together. They got the Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan thing going on.
No, they don't. Because Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan aren't nearly as good as Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler.
Was that my point, young lady?
I don't know. I cut you off.
Exactly. My point is they are viewed as a good romantic couple with chemistry, a rom-com couple. So yeah. They have multiple films under their belt with them together.
Yeah.
That's my point. I'm not going with quality, although if you say anything about Tom Hanks, I'll throw my drink in your face.
I wouldn't dare. No, I think they do make a good couple. I think they're both very good together.
They're very sweet to each other. It's very without guile, without irony, without anything like that. It marks a lot of romantic comedy these days of distance and like, I messed up.
I think they also have genuine fun together.
Yes.
Not just like laughing and running around because you think that's what people in relationships do, but actually having fun together.
There's no snapping jewelry boxes on hands, throwing leaves at each other. We're going to have to do Pretty Woman, absolutely, by the way.
For sure.
I had a media teacher and he would fly into a rage whenever he thought of Pretty Woman.
Really?
He hated that film.
Why? Because he hates prostitutes?
I can't remember. Maybe he does. Maybe he's been stiffed a few times. Yeah, he hated that film. Their chemistry?
Amazing.
Yeah, great chemistry.
I would say their chemistry is the best that I know of my generation.
Of your generation? What is our generation? Who is our generation?
I don't know. They're the same age as us, so I say they're my generation.
I haven't grown up. I grew up pretty slow, so I consider things that are part of my generation that are definitely not part of my generation these days.
What?
I'm just like, oh, Zoe Deschanel, throw her in there. She's our generation. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, what is he, fucking 19? Throw him in there.
I don't know. I guess they consider generation being sort of like your prime.
Yeah.
So like people who
are... My prime
are
is now.
The people that you know. I think it's that easy. It's the people that you know.
Yeah, no,
it's the actors that you know. It doesn't matter if they're older or younger. It's just, these are the people that I know.
But it's also when you peaked, because people used to peak in their teens, so they would only like the stuff in their teens. Nowadays, people go through their 20s. The 20s are like the teens. Like, when I was in my teens, I was so paralyzed by social anxiety, it kind of passed me by. So my 20s were my time to have my teens, and now my 30s are kind of like my 20s.
Yeah, I don't think I'm saying, like, a time. Mm. I'm saying the people that travel you throughout your life.
Okay, that's fair.
So that are there when you're a teen, or there when you're 20s, or there when you're 30s, or there when you're 40s. They're there. They're the people that you see, that you know, music, actors, whoever they are.
Fair point.
That's what I mean by generation.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
And they're the best.
Both of them, yes. All right, that's fair. I can't think of anyone else at this junction. How about the characters? I had this thing called the three C's. I think I've lost my notes. So right now I've got a couple characters and chemistry.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I thought they were really good. I thought that Drew Barrymore's character was more emotive than factual. There wasn't much about her that I knew. But then, for someone whose memory is erased every day, you don't need to know that much except what kind of person they are.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's character, yeah, I think they were well fleshed out characters. I knew their motivations. I knew what they would think about things. I knew that they would fit well together.
I think he turned on a dime a little too quickly. Like, he was this zany Lothario in the beginning, and he turns into this very sensitive and nuanced character who cares very deeply for this woman.
Okay, but it's because she's the one.
It's because she's the one.
I'm sorry this movie worked for me. She's the one.
Yeah.
And this whole time that he's been working on seducing different kinds of women, mm-hmm, in different kinds of ways, he uses all of those tools to woo and seduce one woman, okay, who's different every day.
All right. I suppose that's true. I mean, like, I had my share of romantic escapades in my 20s, and I approached you very differently in our relationship. So that's fair.
Thanks.
Hey. No problem. love, lust, or just friends?
Love.
We've got an affirmative on love. I believe, like the character of Drew Barrymore, I fell in love with it over the course of a day. So I will go with love as well. Ha. Don't gloat.
I'm not gloating. I'm merely making the
sound. Where did you get that beer?
I found it in the fridge.
I didn't even see you get that. You are sneaky.
I know. I'm the worst.
You don't have to work tomorrow, right?
No.
You better not.
You better not.
Yeah, no, I had a really good time. I was very resistant, and it was very nice.
Didn't it make you feel good?
It did make me feel good.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it's the Hawaii setting, though. Hawaii seems
it to definitely make me helps. Feel
very calming.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's like that in Hawaii. I just refuse to believe it because I don't have enough money to go to Hawaii.
I believe it is. I believe it is because I want it to be.
What will we do when we go there?
When we go to Hawaii?
Yeah.
We're going to swim with turtles is what we're going to do.
Isn't that the Galapagos?
No. There's turtles in the Galapagos, mm-hmm. but there's sea turtles in Hawaii. And they go up in the shallow water, and then you can stand in the water, and they swim all around you, and you can pet them. And maybe swim with them if you want. I'm not sure. But I'd really like to swim with them.
I've seen Jaws too many times, but I'll definitely consider it.
They're turtles, not Jaws.
I know, but isn't it in the open ocean?
There's no sharks in Hawaii.
I'm going to get my dictionary for that.
You don't need to. It's a fact that I know. You don't all need right, to look it up.
Fine.
Yeah, so it's fine. We can go there and swim in the ocean.
All right, sounds great.
I'm glad you like it.
I'm glad I like it, too. Mm-hmm. So we usually talk about something personal at this point. This has been a very strangely personal episode. We've been divulging a lot of information about ourselves here that will eventually be used against us.
Should we tell a story?
Yeah. I was thinking about that over the course of the documentary, as we did not prepare at all. I said documentary when I said
that was interesting. I was wondering, but I thought you were going somewhere. So
no, I wasn't going to go somewhere, but maybe I was because we can cover our dates.
Our dates?
Yeah, some of our dates.
Okay, like
because
what?
This is called 51st Dates.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Like what?
What were some of the first dates? Let's see what you remember there, Drew.
You know my memory is terrible.
It's true. Julia has a atrocious memory. She doesn't remember films. I can watch Aliens with her. It's like she's seen it the first time. Every time Bishop gets torn in half, she shrieks like a banshee.
It's very frightening.
It is. It's very unexpected. And I always trick you every time. You're like, oh, it's over now, right? And I'm like, yeah, they got away scot-free. Nope, the Queen is on the ship.
The worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
That's a good movie.
You do one first, and I'll think of one while you're saying one.
Well, we were kind of just friends in the beginning. We moved very fast, so we may had a friendship, then a courtship in the course of a couple weeks. You wanted to be my best friend.
I didn't. I wanted to have sex with you.
Well, you lied to me.
Well, I didn't know how to tell you I wanted to have sex with you.
You are a liar.
I'll tear your heart out.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll burn your soul.
Rollins in the rye. Yeah, the first date was we were hanging out as friends.
Yeah.
Quotation marks, air quotes right there. And that wasn't especially romantic, but it did the trick.
Yeah, we just went for drinks.
We went for drinks, and then we did some Georgetown-style stuff, by which I mean Sprite mixed with liquor, which you seem to have on your person.
I carry a bottle of peach schnapps. Well, at least I used to carry a bottle of peach schnapps at all times. All
right.
You never know when you need it.
I think when you needed that time, we drank in a park. And then we listened to Anthony and the Johnsons, and the rest is history.
Yes. Remember when we have my mom's car and we went to go make out somewhere? Because we couldn't make out with my parents, obviously. So we'll just drive out to the country road somewhere and we'll pull over somewhere. But of course it's a country road, so you can't pull over anywhere because it's only one lane because you're going to get hit from behind. So we decided to pull into a field entrance. Mm-hmm. So there was the gate to go into the field and a car length amount of space. Mm-hmm. And we pulled into there and we were making out and stuff and it was fun. And then I don't know why I was I turned the lights on, the headlights, and the headlights went out onto this field that was kind of sunken. So it was a valley. Mm-hmm. It was the most terrifying and haunted thing I had ever seen.
That's because it was mist.
Yeah.
It was like that scene in Silver Bullet where the werewolf is pulling all the people into the mist. It was very frightening.
What was even more frightening was the fact that we were making out there for a while.
Yes.
And didn't even know we were in the most terrifying place on earth.
And then we drove away and there was that hook hand in the door handle.
What?
And then someone scribbled "You're next" in blood on the car.
Well, that was me.
Oh.
I wanted you to get burritos. And I was like, it's your turn to pay.
I didn't. Spoiler alert.
Don't I know it.
Let's
talk. Oh, remember we have a favorite restaurant?
X-Men 3. We saw X-Men 3.
Oh, of course.
That was our first technically real date. That
was our first date.
Just trying to get it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that you stayed with me after that was remarkable.
Well, I didn't know anything about the X-Men.
She spent the entire time thinking they were all terrible. She never saw X-Men 1 or 2.
I didn't know. The theater smelled like urine.
That's
true. And it was very cold.
I gave you my sweater.
That's right.
Nailed it.
What was the thing that you were saying about how our life is marked by X-Men movies?
Yes. X-Men 3, for our first technical date. We saw another date with Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. That was after we were married, right?
Yeah, shortly after we got married, and then X-Men First Class is when you told me I was going to be a father.
That's right.
She made me go see that movie and was buying a pregnancy test.
That's right.
Waka
What's
waka.
Your favorite date that we have?
My favorite date? I don't know. We've had so many.
I know. What one that you can think of, anyways?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. Every time we went to the Batifol, the French restaurant, our favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
When we saw John Waters speaking.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. We went and saw John Waters. We went and saw a lot of concerts. Gosh.
I really like taking you to go see your first play.
Oh, yes. Was that Hair? Hedwig.
The best. Hedwig was at Fringe. So it was just a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
The first play you saw was the Addams Family play.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
And we were late, and I was a million months pregnant, and I was, like, trying to run.
We saw a lot of shows when you were pregnant. I'm surprised that you made it through all that.
That's right.
We saw Prince.
Uh-huh.
We saw Jim Gaffigan.
Yep. We were trying to get it all out of our system before the baby came.
It's true. I haven't seen a concert since.
Yeah. But we went to see the Addams Family musical,
mm-hmm.
which was not very good, but it was nice because I love plays so much. It was nice to see you watch it. It was nice. And Hair was an actual good play.
Yeah.
Which was even better.
Hair was great. I really liked Hair.
Of course you did.
Good tunes.
It's wonderful.
Good tunes. Yeah, I can't think of any other... Off the top of my head, I'm kind of drawing a blank because I'm nervous because we have a podcast going.
Yeah.
We've had multiple dates, usually at restaurants, plays, concerts, movies. Nothing involving physical activity.
I don't care for movement of any kind.
Pumpkin picking. We went pumpkin picking that one time.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah. Archery.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was a really good date.
Yeah,
that was our second wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And we took couples archery classes.
Yep.
Now I knew I was going to be awesome, and Alex actually knew he was going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think we're going to be awesome at anything ever.
Yeah,
but for some reason we felt it.
Yeah,
we were going to be good at it.
We were very great archers.
We were awesome.
I knew we were going to be because we played that shooting game that one time. That real shooting game that shoots BBs at things.
Oh, when we went to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
That was a ghost ride.
No. It was different than the ghost ride when we were with your sister.
Oh, the shotgun.
The Western one.
The Western
we kept
one,
getting tokens for your sister's kids.
That's right. We're really good at it. We're good at shooting.
Natural snipers right here.
Well, we totally won the who's going to be best contest for the archery thing.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yep. And I had the giantest bruise on my arm because I didn't want to admit the fact that I was shooting wrong. And I had a welt on my arm, like the width of my hand, that lasted 4 weeks. But I got to pull it open at work all the time and say, check out my sporting injury.
Exactly.
I got it whilst playing sports. Competitive.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it.
All right, I'd say let's wrap this up. I feel like we're the drunk guests that have overstayed their welcome.
We always are.
It's true. We do stay to the end of parties.
It's
we like to party.
It's true.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We show up late, though.
That's true.
That's, you know, it's the same thing. So, 51st date recommended?
Well, I just said I loved it, so yes, I recommend it.
Good. I'm glad.
I'm really glad that you are glad.
Cool.
All right, to all our four listeners.
I love you.
You heard it here first. She loves you. I'd like to stay just friends.
With benefits.
With a few benefits. All right, folks. This has been another episode of Two Idiots in Love with Movies. The next episode will be less personal and more informed on the motion picture in question.
Or will it?
Stay tuned.
51st Dates was awesome. It was awesome. Got Watch it. I really liked recording this podcast with you.
I enjoyed it as well.
Come here.